Oh, Father, we're so grateful to you. So grateful. So grateful. So grateful for salvation. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am grateful to King Jesus for his salvation and love. Hallelujah. Yes, take your seats. Thank you, guys. Awesome. That song came in my heart because, you know, the last part we were singing, it says, forever, I am changed by your love. And the love of God is such a powerful force because it's the very essence of God. You know, the Bible talks about how the love of God has constrained us. And there's a place we can come into where you're so saturated with his presence that your human emotions can feel the emotion of love. That's why it's critical for us to live by the Spirit, because he's a spirit being. Those who worship him in spirit and truth. And so we labor when it comes to things of the Spirit. And as you do that, and as we do that in the Word, and spending time with him, what happens is your spirit man becomes sensitized. And when it becomes sensitized, you experience his glory. And as his glory increases and his presence increases, it then spills over. It floods your spirit, man, and spills over and begins to have an effect on your soul. And that is why we feel God. You know, we say we feel God. Yes, you feel him in your spirit. And we have to learn to distinguish what is our spirits and what is our soul. But there is a place where beyond our spirits, ultimately that's where it is. But it's so awesome and intoxicating that it impacts your soul. And you know, as we do that continually, what would happen is your being would be so saturated. That is why Jesus, in his earthly mission, he was so saturated with the very life and the presence of his Father that when he went into the mountain and he took a few of his disciples and they were praying and the glory of God came. And what happened? His skin changed, began to shine. The flesh. Now, we know King Jesus is different because there was no sin within him. But I put to you another individual, Moses, who was incarcerated in this fallen nature. Yet he saturated, or rather he was saturated in God's presence to the point that when he came down from the mountain, his face shone. We don't even have to stop at Moses. We look at Stephen, who's a deacon, full of the Spirit, full of faith. It doesn't tell us about his lifestyle. We just get a qualification of who he was, a man of faith, a man of the Spirit, had good report, which is indication, those fruits are indication of a tremendous life in the Spirit, in a secret place. And as a result of that, when he was being persecuted and killed, the Bible says his face shone. Imagine that. They were persecuting him. They were throwing stones at him. He was preaching the word. He could see, listen, this one, I can tell by this crowd. They don't like what I'm saying. And as they began to throw stones at him and stuff like that, he was preaching the word. And as he preached the word, his face was shining and he was able to see in heaven. He said, Lord, receive my spirit. Let me tell you, there's a realm for us to experience and encounter. There's a realm. It's for us. Are we willing to pay the price for it? If you are, you shall enter in. And remember, Moses didn't have the new covenant. In other words, Jesus coming to die for us. Enoch didn't have it. Enoch was in realms. Realms. Imagine that. Your lifestyle is so impeccable. Now, not in his own nature, but by the influence of the Spirit. So it means he entered in at a certain point and began to discover depths and dimensions of the Father. Encountering the Spirit. And as he did that, and as he walked with the Lord, it was so incredible. God said, this one, you shall not see death. You've gone beyond. And I'm telling you guys, that realm is for us. It's for us. I think one person will enter in. One person say amen, the other one's nodding. Hallelujah. Let me hear a good amen. Amen. Guys, listen. Imagine. Live our life, come to the church. Listen, we are into building church. We're building church. It's not enough to build church. It's the kingdom we must build. And as you build a kingdom and you exercise the priorities and principles of the kingdom, what happens is the very work of our hands, the church, will experience a dimension of power, a dimension of his grace and authority. Then we'll see how church is to be done. Because there's a realm of victory we need to walk in. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to walk in a realm of victory. Who wants to pay the price? I do. And it's tough. But I want to. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5. And we'll read from verse 33, Luke chapter 5, 33 says, and they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, can you make the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. Then shall they fast in those days. And he spoke also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old wine bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for your presence, and we ask your grace will continue. In the name of Jesus, you be glorified and you'll have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. We are continuing with the theme of new wine coming into new wineskins. So please, don't shut me down and say, okay, they've done this last 3 weeks. New wine, new wine, new wine. You're saying new wine so much, I nearly went to the off license to buy some. Hallelujah. The new one I'm talking about, you will not get from the off license. What I want to share with you today, I've entitled, A New Season Means a New You. Turn to your neighbor and say, A New Season Means a New You. Now listen, guys. When we say that new wine is coming, and we are now fasting, we're fasting, yes, about the missions conference, etc. We're fasting, we're praying, because you can't have events of God without God's Spirit. You can't. Or you can, but it will have no eternal value. It will have no impact on us. Because the disciples said to Jesus, the words that you speak, they are spirit and they're life. When the disciples, 500 disciples, left him, and Jesus said to the 12, how come you're still here? And Peter said, where shall we go? You have the words of life. And let me tell you something. We cannot have any meeting, this meeting and any meeting, without the Spirit energizing it. Otherwise, what it is that you have the soul of man. And there are some men who are orators. They will speak and you will tingle, the hair on your body will stand. You know, they're orators like that. The only problem is they stimulate soul life and give you no power to your spirit. That's why you should be praying for services. When you come to a service, you should be praying and say, God, come and speak to me. Anoint the service, seriously. And Jesus, coming to this text, Jesus uses the metaphor of a new garment being put on an old garment. And then he uses the metaphor of new wine being put into old wineskins and the consequences of it. The consequence being that the old wineskin will burst because the new wine is fermenting. So it's got movement. It's expanding. And the old wineskin cannot handle the ability of that expansion. In other words, the capacities are different. The capacity of the old wineskin is not the same as the capacity of the new. And Jesus was using this as a metaphor to bring about a powerful truth, and he was actually speaking to the disciples of John. And of course, all those that heard were also receiving this powerful truth. And as he shared this parable, it is so loaded. And we're going to continue with this metaphor and try and see if there are any truths that can help us, any principles, any directives, any, you know when we say, oh, we're going to do this, and that, and oh, I want to get this, or these changes are coming. You know what we say? We say, thank you for that, but what does it look like? What does it look like? Because the new, we want to get it. So we want an explanation. What does it look like? And so I want to share on a very powerful aspect of this metaphor, which is what they do in the Middle East. And hopefully we'll see what it looks like to attain the new you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you must attain the new you. You know, I've heard different preachers, and Joshua Selman puts it like this. He says, Apostle Joshua Selman, he says, there has to be another version of you. Because the level of power, grace, and ability cannot be accommodated in the old version. There's a new version. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's a new version coming. Now, let me see if I could just say a few things which hopefully will give some context to this metaphor of new wine being put into new wineskins. In Genesis chapter 1, when God begins to create, he creates, you know, the sun, the moon, the firmament. He causes the sea and the land to separate. And then he begins to work on living things. He speaks to the sky and he says, bring forth fowls, every flying, every winged animal, bring it forth. He speaks to the waters and he says, every fish of the sea. So basically, he calls forth the fish, and he goes on to say, and he created great whales and great creatures, etc. Everything that moveth in the sea. He spoke to the waters. And then it goes on to say, he then spoke to the ground. And he said, let beasts come forth. And every time he said this, go and have a look at it. It says, when he spoke it, then he said, in one instance, he said he then created the birds. When he spoke it, the birds and the fishes, it says he created them. When it came to the animals that came out of the ground, he says he made them. So whatever the Lord wanted, he will look at the realm that they will live in and operate from. And he will speak it and he will say, let there be this animal, that animal, depending on whether it's the sky, the seas, or the land. When he wanted a man, what did he do? He spoke to himself. Because the Bible says in verse 26 of chapter 1, he says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Then he goes on to say, male and female, let them have dominion, etc. He says that. And then the scripture says in Genesis chapter 2, I believe it's verse 7, it says, and God formed man out of the dust of the earth. The word form means to squeeze. It means to mold. So God took earth and he began to squeeze and mold a vessel whereby he would be able to put that vessel into the earth. And at that time it was into the earth, into the garden. But what we need to understand is, because man was, and then he does this, he forms the shape of man, and then he says he breathed into man, and man became a what? A living soul. Now, he didn't breathe into the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. He didn't breathe into the beasts or the creeping things. He didn't. It was man that he breathed into. When he made the fowls of the air or the sea creatures, etc., he did not make them in his image. It was man he made in his image. And there was a reason. The reason is, man is meant to be a container. Man is actually constructed with limitations. Man cannot function without God. Man needs God. The Bible says God causes the sun to shine on the righteous and unrighteous. Let me tell you guys, those of us who are saved, those of us who are not saved, we're enjoying the same sun that God causes to shine. You know, when you if you look at all the elements and all the and all the fabric of how do I even put it? I'm not a scientist, but the fabric of our creative construct. I sound so clever, creative construct. Where did that even come from? Listen, it has been created by God for every individual to enjoy. But here's the thing, guys. Man has been created to operate with God. That's why man was the only one who was created in his image and in his likeness. Because man is very significant. The scripture says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that you consider him? You've made him a little lower than the angels. Listen, guys, that's what I'm saying. We can't do church without God. You can't do your life as a believer without God. Because the Bible says he gives us the power to become the sons of God. Now, hopefully, I'm not going to run out of time. I want to get somewhere with regards to the new you and how you begin to build it. We are containers. Do you know what the definition of a container is? It's this. Any object that can be used to hold things. Also, it is now, why can't I read my handwriting? One who or that which is designed to contain some fluid or solid material, especially for convenience in transporting the contained object. If I'm going to jump ahead of myself, it's this. The very life of God is meant to be carried by human beings. It's convenient for the Lord. The reason being is this. Can you imagine, not only has God created us with limitations, but God has limited himself. Imagine that. God of all power, God of all strength, has limited himself in the dealings on earth. So what happens is this. God can't come and just do what he wants on earth. He has to use a man because he gave man the authority of the earth. So he can't. So when he wants to bring salvation, the Bible says, I believe in Ezekiel 22, towards the latter part, he says, I look for a man, one who will stand in a gap, and I found none. And scriptures tells us that what he does is so he took upon himself that responsibility. So what did he do? He came as a man. Spirits are illegal in this earth. Spirits can't come and just start doing things. What they do is they will influence you so that they can come and reside in you. Human beings are containers. Because the scripture says, when Judas was told by Jesus in code, there's one who's going to betray me here. And he says to Jesus, that which you're going to do, do it quickly. The Bible says, and Satan entered him. That's what it says. You want the scripture reference? It's Luke 22 and 3, I think. Bring it out, let me see. Because there's another scripture that I want to point out. You know, there's another scripture which talks about how when a spirit is cast out, what does he do? He says, they've cast me out of my house. They've cast me out of my house. Let's go to Matthew 12:44. Oh, I've got to hurry up. Matthew 12:44. It says, the spirit will say, they cast me out of my house. And from afar, he looks at his house, which is a human being. And he says, it's cleaned, it's garnished, it's nice and fresh. You know what? I'm going to go back into my house because I can't see any guards there. There are no barriers hindering me. And I'm going to go into that man. But just in case I'm cast out again, I'm going to get seven spirits more wicked than myself so I can hold that place. Look, it's there. It says, then he goeth and he taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Man is a house. I believe, is it 1 Corinthians chapter 3? It says, we are God's building. Another scripture says, we are his temple. 1 Corinthians, I believe it's, is it 6 and 7? We are the temple of God. We're his temple. He lives in us. He says, he will come, the Father and Son, they'll come and they'll make abode with us. When there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, of the living God, the Bible says, and they were all filled. What am I saying? I'm talking about we are containers. Now, containers carry things. for the convenience of the person who's poured it in. That's why the Lord is looking and waiting and hoping. You will align yourself with him so that he can pour into you new wine, and then he could take you, because it's convenient, because you're the authority on the earth, and he takes you and he will place you in a community, not in a computer, in a community. In a community, or in a town, or in a city. And then what he does is, he will then cause what's inside of you to be poured out. Your family is waiting for the new wine that's in you. That's why, guys, I'll be honest with you. Forgive me if I tread on toes this morning and afternoon. But we've got to stop playing tiddlywinks. We've got to stop building sandcastles. There's a realm we have to operate in. We have to finish our work and then go to be with the Father and then wait for the new age to come. If only you knew the callings of God on your life, the dimensions of power that you can walk in and live in. Power over sin. Power over demons. Oh, hallelujah. We are containers. In Jeremiah 18, 2 and 4, it talks about how God said to Jeremiah, go to the potter's house. He goes to the potter's house, and then he sees the potter at the wheel making a vessel. God was working and speaking to the prophets metaphorically. The potter is the Father. The clay is who? Israel. And when he was shaping Israel, just like he's shaping you. And when he sees that there's a defect and there's a mar, what does he do? He would crumple it down and he will start again. Those who've seen pottery in action, we see that same thing. They'll crumple it down, add some water, get it pliable, and begin to start again. Because the Lord is looking for a vessel. See, if there's a mar, it means there's a defect. If there's a defect and you pour something in it, it will leak. You need to understand the reason why God hasn't given us all of these amazing, powerful things, etc., is because we're not ready. And guess what? He loves us so much, he doesn't want our current wineskin to burst. So he's patiently waiting. So let me just share with you, in the Middle East, guess what they do? They have this, they have the wineskins. It's like the wineskins are made of goat skin and then also lamb skin. And they can, depending on the size, they can contain, obviously, water. But often, they will put wine into it. Now, what tends to happen is, when the wine is finished, sometimes they'll throw it outside the tent, outside the house. The sun beats on it, and guess what happens to the old wineskin? It becomes hard and brittle because it's not being used. Is it possible that you and I are hard and brittle because we're not being used? There's no wine flowing. We don't even have the old wine. We're cast outside. And the sun is beating on us. And so what they would do in the Middle East, when they want to use a wine, that wine bottle, they will get it. And they will take it through a process. The process they'll take it through is they will soak it in water. Soak it in water. Soak it. Then they'll take it out. And then they'll soak it again in water until the water saturated it so that the brittle aspect of the wineskin begins to soften. The next stage is they then take it out and they get olive oil and they massage it into the skin. Massage it into the skin. And then they'll put it in water some more and take it out and get olive oil and massage it into the skin. And they'll continue that process until that wine skin is now soft and pliable. And guess what? It's now ready for the new wine. This is what they actually do. Maybe in certain communities that are, you know, quite nomadic and not living in sort of the kind of modern era, but this was something they did all the time. And so how do we apply this to ourselves? As Jesus is teaching in a metaphorical fashion, and he talks about the new wine going into the new wineskin. Now listen to this. When you look at the text and it talks about new wine, the word new means brand new, absolutely new. When it talks about new wineskins, that word is not the same as the new wine word. The new wine word, that Greek word new means, is neos. The Greek word is neos, and it means brand new. So when it's talking about persons, it's talking about youthful. When it's talking of things, it's talking about fresh, brand new. When you look at the Greek word for new bottles or new wineskins, guess what the word is? It's not the same as neos. It's actually kainos or kainos. And guess what that means? It means to renew. So God is not starting afresh, going to get a new, you know, the goat will be killed, you skin it, and then you start anew. No, God is going to take that old wineskin and he takes it through the process that we've said. Guess what God does? God will take you through putting you into water. Do you know what water is? Water is metaphorical for the word of God. So what God will do, he will saturate you in the word. You see, God has his part and you have your part. Let me just tell you God's part. He will saturate you in the water. Keep on saturating the word. The word is coming. He will speak to you. He will speak to you through the preaching of the word. He will speak to you in your devotions. He will speak to you through visions and dreams, etc. Or others coming to give you a prophetic word. Softening you, softening you, softening you. And then the next stage is he then will take not olive oil, but he takes the anointing oil and it rubs the anointing oil over you. And he's massaging it and he's working it in you so that you are pliable, so that you are soft. And guess what God is doing? God is renovating your wineskin. Can I hear a good amen? Amen. He's renovating it. And sometimes God will bring certain teachings to handle the new seasons you're in. There are times God will be speaking to you ahead of time. I know it's not by accident. I'm just a servant. But I know it's not by accident where the Lord then, I will hear in my spirit, the fire is falling, catch the fire. In his kindness and compassion, he makes it so that I can hear and receive. But he's also saying it to you. I tell you, I believe it. You don't have to have a prophetic word. The Bible says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And the Spirit is speaking through preaching. Listen, if you go and you are individuals who listen to preachings, etc., of significant sound preachers on YouTube, you will hear there's a sound. Listen, we're in a season of prayer. Why do you think? Because the Lord is coming. And the church must get ready. The bride must be ready. She must not be foolish. She must be wise. And what did the wise say to the foolish? Go and buy oil. So that's what God does. He massages, works in it, massages. And then what does he releases his Holy Spirit upon you. Our part is this. We get into God's word. Listen, I don't know about you. At times, I find it very difficult reading. I love the word. But just this busyness of life. So my lowest point is, I say, okay, all right. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. Every day I'm going to read one that relates to the day. And that's what I'll do. And I fail at that sometimes. Other times I will force it, hey, and the word speaks to me, and then I sense it. So you read the word, get into the word. It doesn't have to be any specific way, format, way. Get into the word. As you keep forcing it, what will happen is you'll be saturated. You'll be saturated the more you stay there. And then with the oil coming upon your new wines, and guess what you do? You get into prayer. Prayer is not a swear word. It's a lifeline. Don't worry if you hear it over and over. The reason why you hear it over and over and over is because we haven't gained where we should be. Hallelujah. So you get into prayer. Why do you think tongues have been given to us? A prayer language where you pray the praise of God is so dynamic that not only are you praying the praise of God and you're speaking mysteries, but guess what? You are also building yourself up. And as you pray and as you pray and as you pray and as you pray, you find there's a life that is being born through prayer. And what you're doing is you don't realize you activate it respectfully because of the difficulty of finding the right words. But the Holy Spirit, we could put it this way, is activated in your life. Because the oil speaks of or is metaphoric for the Holy Spirit. The oil is metaphoric for the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Yes. The Bible says, you lifted up my horn. Anoint me with fresh oil. That anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. And if we in this season are anticipating the new, what we will do by what we see in the scriptures as Jesus was teaching, we would see that our wineskin is renovated. Hallelujah. They were flashing zero to me. How many minutes ago? Time is gone. I want us to pray. Listen, we've got to be stirred. We've got to be stirred. Because listen, we don't want to miss the new wine. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. Listen, who has been in a situation where service is going and everybody looks like they're connecting and then you're just there, you can't feel shit. You know, and you're looking around and you think everybody's like, oh, you know. You look at Steve, the way he's dancing, you feel, hey, I don't feel nothing. Look at David, and David is in that serene posture. The heavens have parted. He's beholding the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then you and I are thinking, well, what's wrong with me? Why? Listen, that's indicative of a hunger in you. But we miss it. We think, oh, you know, we brush it aside. There's a hunger being birthed. God deliberately creates hunger by withholding his presence at times. Oh, my time is running out. Sometimes when I stand here, please come, guys. Sometimes when I stand here, there's things I want to say. But, you know, my personal life, it's like, no, we have to, you know, control yourself, boy. Saying things, you know. Not that, it's not simple. Oh, I hope I can stir you up, guys, because listen, you have no idea. Oh, God, listen to this. I didn't tell you this, but last week, there were two pictures that I saw. The first one, we prayed into it. I only shared that. Guess what the second one was? I had a vision and I saw a building site. And in the building site, you know, they have the hoardings outside, you know, those wooden things. It's like a wooden fence. And there was these gates, but you could see through the gates. And I could see it was a building site, so it was mayhem in a building site. I couldn't see the foundation. It's like it was deep. I could see iron rods that were coming up. And as I was looking on, there was a man who passed by. And then he doubled back to go and have a look. And I'm watching this. And I felt in my spirit, this is Greenwich. This is Greenwich. God is doing a new thing, guys. I'm telling you. We are His building. Two people independently had dreams. One of them, David, had the dream. I have to say me. That I was in this building and the building was in disrepair. Things were falling down. It was actually dangerous. And then a part of the building fell, and just as it was about to fall on me, miraculously it stopped. And the person was saying, this is dangerous. But I was busy trying to, you know. It's not about me. It's about us. And then, independently, 2 weeks later, somebody else had a dream. And they said that my house was in disrepair. I'll be honest, when I heard this, I thought, okay, what is this? Is this my personal house? Yes, because you can't. You know, we know in part. So you have to discern properly. Is this my house? So I'm not playing around. I'm checking my house. I want to put my house in order. Guys, forgive me. We might go over. Is that okay? Because we got to pray. Now listen. So I'm checking and I'm asking a question. Is this my house? Or is this Greenwich? And the reason why I say Greenwich is because it could be CLF. But because I'm one of the leaders here, and the only leader in that dream, and it's very similar to the other one. They sent me a recording. I was listening to it. In fact, the first one I heard, I was discouraged. I was upset. So upset, the person telling me, I'm saying, so what do I do with this? What do I do with this? Yeah, you've now given me some slaps and the chops. What is the solution? And they were like, oh, I wish I hadn't said, you know? Guys, we are God's building. And God is building, He's the builder. He's not only building you, but He's building this church. I will build my church. Gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Let's stand to our feet. And I want us to pray into this. Guys, is it okay if we go over a little bit? Don't just take this as another word. When I come to church, I listen intently. Because sometimes, in all that has been said, there's just one sentence. Other times, every word is impactful to me. But what I do is I tune. Because it's my life. Here's one more dream. You know when we started the praying and fasting? When Pastor John said, hey, we're going to be praying and fasting. And let's be honest, many of us are, what, again? What, suddenly? What's all of this? You have to give me some of those songs. There were some songs, withholding nothing. Just sing that softly. Listen, an individual had a dream. Your friend had a dream. Guess what dream She dreamt that she saw, as we began the fast, she saw water was being poured on the Bible. And I want us to look at this scripture because we're going to be praying, guys. This is not a kick. This is not a kick where it really hurts. This is about us saying, Spirit of God, what are you saying? What are you saying? In this mayhem, God is in the center. Because a new wineskin means that, listen, the changes that are going to come, I kid you not, it's going to look different. It has to look different. Now we are being saturated in the word, and the oil is being massaged into us. Those of you who've had certain massages, sometimes it's painful. I surrender all to you. Please sing that. The scripture says, Ephesians 5:26. Let's read the scripture and then we'll pray. The very structured, powerful, awesome administrators, I know right now you're having kittens because it's 1 o'clock and you're convulsing, thinking, we need, just relax. It's okay. Don't worry. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Next verse. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. The Lord is pouring water on us, washing us with his word. Oh, my brothers and sisters, let's lift our hands. I want us to sing this song as we just, you know, get ourselves ready, and we're going to be praying out. We're praying out for Greenwich. And we're praying out for Celia, that Lord, make us this new container. The Bible says this treasure in earthen vessels. Come on, worship team.